Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode number 48 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and as always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm pretty amped up right now. I know this is a Knicks episode, but just wanted to get out of the way. Corey Kluber did throw a no-hitter for the New York Yankees yesterday, which is awesome. And right before we get started here, I want to introduce a good friend of ours, fellow Bruce Beck Sports Broadcasting Camp alumni and Ithaca's finest, Michael Memes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am pumped for this upcoming series. I have already kind of feel in playoff mode after the Lakers-Warriors game. That was really exciting.
It was a great game.
And just really excited for this entire playoffs. I think it's going to be amazing. And having fans there is just going to be even better.
Yeah. I mean, 15,000 in the garden is what it sounds like for Sunday night. And our own Anthony Evangelista will be in attendance for game one and two, which is so awesome. And I'm super jealous, but
yeah, it's kind of crazy. I didn't really expect to see a Knicks game this season. And then all of a sudden my friend was like, yeah, no, my dad got his tickets for game one and game two. So I'm extremely euphoric about that. I'm very excited for those, but you know,
and let's if we just go down 0-2, Anthony's kicked off the show. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, that's exactly what it's going to be. This is going to be the Keegan and Memes show if they end up 0-2. But yeah, so let's just get right into a bit of a series preview real quick. So the Knicks start their 4-7 game series against Atlanta on Sunday at 7 o'clock, and let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, a few things what to watch for just off the top of my head is obviously the Knicks went 3-0 against the Hawks in the regular season. And as Thibodeau said after Sunday's win, that means virtually nothing. And I think that we can all agree on that. However, even though we'll get into predictions a little bit later, I fully expect the New York Knicks to win this series. And I will be, I think, disappointed in how the season ended if they don't. I like the matchup.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say, you know, first of all, the Hawks were hurt during the series, and that's what Hawks fans will keep pointing out, even though, like, it's possible you get hurt during this series also because your team wasn't as healthy as the Knicks' top two players. But you know, I think in terms of talent, like, Hawks are a better team. And I think the Knicks, you know, that's, you could say that most teams that are faced that the Knicks would face, besides like maybe even the Celtics are more talented. Like, there are very few teams I'd say are less talented. I guess like the Hornets, if they had made it, but they obviously didn't.
Yeah. On paper. Yes, I agree.
But like the Knicks, obviously, like they have found ways to beat teams that have more talent than them. And that's what they're going to aim to do. Obviously I think the Knicks are going to win. I'm a Knicks fan. I think it's going to be a tough series. I think the biggest thing is going to be Trae Young. How do you guard him? Because, you know, Rose isn't a great defensive point guard. Quickly is not a great defensive point guard. And Elf, is not great. And Ntilikina doesn't play offense good.
Yeah, I think I expect Tibbs to have some sort of plan. I would almost – I don't know if this is the smartest thing, but one thing that popped into my head initially when thinking about what the plan for Trae Young is, because obviously he's their premier offensive player. The offense runs through him. They've got the pick and rolls with him and Capella. He can shoot the three ball really well, and he gets to the line. That's something the Knicks are going to need to have to put a stop on. He gets to the line a lot. He did it in the regular season as well against us. But I would almost expect somewhat of like a revolving door of like almost like hockey line changes where like Frank comes in for 4 minutes and he gets him. And then you kind of have to double him with like Rose or Burks or blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the deal is going to be with Alfred Payton this series. I know he was talking to the media today and, you know, I wasn't really swung either which way by what he said, but obviously he's been the worst player in the Knicks rotation. I don't think that's any,
you know, like,
don't let Jeremy Goldstein hear us say that though. But
no. Okay. Realistically though, Elfrid Payton does not deserve the minutes that he has. And it's just a point of like, there's no other way to put it at this point. The Knicks are, I wouldn't say loaded, but the Knicks have a bunch of very talented guards on their team that could fulfill the role that Elfrid Payton is currently in the middle of, where we have people coming off the bench where I'm not saying, you know what, I don't want to say like, let's change up everything. Cause you know, we're going into the playoffs. I know Tibbs isn't going to want to just completely switch up what he's had working for him the past few weeks, but I really don't think anything beneficial comes out of starting Elfrid Payton. And you know what? I know that I love him on a spiritual level, but Frank Ntilikina deserves some of his minutes. And I'm not just saying that because I like him. In terms of any time that he comes on the court, whether it's usually at the end of the quarter, but he's always able to put up a really solid defensive presence that we normally don't have when he's not on the court. And you know what? I don't think that he should be a starter for the Knicks, but I really think that some of Elfrid's minutes could be a lot better used if it's Ntilikina instead.
I actually think he should be a starter. So in terms of, we're talking about Trae Young, right? Ntilikina has had the best, like his numbers against Trae is the best. And in terms of like compared to Elf, right? Ntilikina is a better defender. He could shoot better. I guess you could say, you know, Elf's not great at running the offense and passing. So it's like, you can't, I mean, Ntilikina is not great at it either. And I get the logic of having Rose on the bench because Rose is, you know, a scoring guy off the bench and really, you know, you need that scoring when Randall and Barrett are out. And yeah, then
he's your finisher.
Quickly, I think Thibs kind of sees him more as a shooting guard because even when he's out there with Burks at the end of the game, like he has Burks at point guard. He doesn't have Quickly at point guard, and which kind of says like what Thibs thinks. So, you know, if you're going to put another point guard in, I think Frank may be it, but you still probably don't play him a lot of minutes. Kind of almost similar to what Elf's doing, where you play at the beginning of each half and maybe end of the game situations if need be with defense.
I mean, my take on Frank is that I'm not so sure it's as black and white as just give Frank all of Elfrid Payton's minutes. It could be, but I don't really know. Because like you said, Michael, like you want Frank in there when it's like possession to possession at the end of the game. And obviously Elfrid Payton's never going to be playing down the stretch at the end of the second, at the end of the first half, at the end of the fourth quarter. And I think starting the game with Frank, I think it's a better option than starting Rose because I like Rose as a finisher in the second quarter. I like Rose as a finisher in the fourth if he's playing well. And, you know, keep him rested up because obviously we know, God forbid, something were to happen. You're right about IQ being more of a two guard. Alec Burks, when he runs the offense, I don't mind that. But, you know, if Frank starts, I don't mind seeing the offense run through RJ Barrett, which is almost, you know, it's risky, I guess, to a certain degree. But as long as they're not playing iso ball out there, I guess it doesn't really matter who's running the offense.
No, I completely agree with that. You know, I'm going to go a little off topic here. I just want to, like, push this in there before we continue. I don't know if you guys saw it came out, like, the past 45 minutes, but Tom Thibodeau, Julius Randle, and Derrick Rose all got nominated as a finalist for their respective awards. So what is that? That's Derrick Rose with sixth man, Julius Randle with most improved, and Thibodeau with coach of the year, obviously.
What was the deal with, like, the Coach of the Year thing, like, a few days ago? Like, I didn't think
they had they had a coaches choose. They chose Mont. But, like, there has been ballots released. Like, there's a tracker of this. I think Tibbs is, like, slightly leading, but I think in the end, Williams wins. I think Randall gets most improved player, and I think Rose at the most gets second in most improved. Sorry, in sixth man, but I think he'll get third.
Yeah. I think he'll be second or third as well. I think you got to give it to one of the Utah guys for sixth man.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, that's good. But what was I trying to say there? Yeah. For the Derrick Rose thing, that trade has just panned out perfectly.
Definitely.
That Dennis Smith Jr. and a second for Derrick Rose, who has become are a great secondary scorer behind Randall. And let's talk about Randall for a second here. Julius Randall's been an absolute stud against the Atlanta Hawks this year. And I highly anticipate them to be double teaming him anytime he's within the perimeter, anytime he's near the paint, anytime he's near the baseline, someone's going to be on him. And at that point, you know, you got to count on guys like Reggie Bullock, Alec Burks, RJ Barrett too, even though he's less of a like spot up guy, like they've got to hit their shot.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a little surprised by how good his numbers are because Clint Capella is, I mean, I know Randall's minutes is outside of the game, but Clint Capella is one of the best defensive centers in the league. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of Randall's game is in the post. Like, I know he can shoot threes, and if he's hot, you know, he'll make a few, but his bread and butter is hitting those shots in the post.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, I think Atlanta's going to obviously planning to try to get it out of his hands. But Randall's very good at distributing, which will help. And, you know, they could run an offense with like just shooters around Randall, have him as a small ball center and go with like RJ, Burks, Bullock.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they do it though, because I really don't. I think it's too small because you don't want to have Bullock at power forward.
Yeah. And one thing that concerns me in this series as well is obviously Nerlens Noel's been a stud and Taj Gibson has been a stud. We don't have our best rebounder, and Clint Capella is one of, if the not best rebounding big men in the league. And, you know, we've struggled down the stretch with second chance opportunities. That's why we lost the Laker game at the end, with allowing offensive rebounds and second possessions for the teams we're playing against. And they have to have a plan for Capella on the boards, especially for the defensive rebounds.
No, I completely agree. And we talked about this a bit in our last episode, but just like the idea that Mitchell Robinson is going to be out most likely until at least Eastern Conference Finals.
If they make it, right.
Yeah. So, and look, Nerlens Noel has been an absolute powerhouse in the paint in terms of being a block party, being everything that we've needed him to be. But at the same time, we've all seen over the past few weeks towards the end of this next season that rebounding has been a bit of an issue, where especially teams getting these offensive rebounds and putting up second chance points have really been killing the Knicks in terms of late game situations. Where, I mean, you saw the thing with Wesley Matthews in the Lakers game they lost recently. It's just been something that's recurred over and over again, where it's really made the difference on a team where if the Knicks have played well against some of these better teams, but because they're not able to grab some of these offensive rebounds and they're able to get these second chance points, then that could be the difference between winning three games in a series and winning four games in a series. So it really just all depends on if the big men can step up when they need to.
Yeah. I don't know what is Mitch's timeline right now? Cause I'm just curious, like, if he is back, what is his role? Like, I know I'm not the host of this, I'm the guest, but like,
you're right.
Would he get starters minutes? Is he going to kind of be eased in? Like, cause he could be if the Knicks somehow get to the second round and he's available, that's a big factor. I know they're still going to lose to the 76ers, but he'll help in guarding Embiid if the Knicks make it there.
Yeah, I don't think he would get starter minutes. In fact, I think he'd have a very similar role to Taj if that were the case. But, you know, as great as Nerlens and Taj have been, we've gotten virtually no offense from the five the last couple weeks, last 2 months or whatever it's been. And that's something that did and has provided. And, you know, the offense has struggled, even though they shoot well from three, but they're incredibly streaky. The last two games of the regular season, they got completely shut down. They couldn't make a shot to save their lives in the last 5 minutes of the game, and they allowed it to become close, and one of those games went to overtime. So that transitions into what one of these things that I was going to say next. The offense has been incredibly streaky, and when they go in these cold spurts where they don't hit a shot for 4 or 5 minutes towards the end of the game, that's terrifying, because they blew multiple in their last two games. They blew a combined like a 19 and then like a 17 point lead in the third, late third, early fourth quarter. That's not going to fly against the Hawks in a playoff game.
Yeah, no, definitely. Speaking of centers, I want to see more of a Randall Obi lineup. I don't think they're going to test this in the playoffs, but like, I just feel like when Obi had those offensive struggles, like kind of mid year, I was like, it doesn't help when you got a center there who's clogging the paint. Cause Obi's like better inside. Like he's shot threes better as the season's gone on, but like he is, you know, very athletic. He's very good in the paint. So if you have him as a center, he kind of gets that room in the paint, and like Randall can kind of be a stretch big a little more.
Is he good enough defensively though? Like that's
the question. I don't know, but I mean, he's been better than what expected. Like he was supposed to be bad defender and he's been like eight.
Okay. Defender.
Yeah. I don't know if it would work. I think it would be like in situations. Like I don't think you could do it if Capella's in. I think Capella would have to be out for some reason, and then they could try it. But I don't think I don't think Tibbs is going to do that, because I think, honestly, if you're going to get rid of someone from the rotation, it's going to be Obi. But I don't think they do that, because it's like, I haven't seen a Noel Gibson lineup or a Bullock Gibson lineup. Like I can't see it happening, but I see him getting less minutes.
I think the only way that Tibbs gets really experimental is if we're down 2-0 or down 3-1. That's, I think, the only time that you could see Tibbs like doing that full shooter with Julius at the five thing like we talked about. Or going super big. I think that the only way that happens is if they're in a deep hole, because if not, they might as well just stay the course, because they could stay the course and go up 2-0 going to Atlanta. And we're like, all right, we're cooking with gas now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, also, no, there's going to be zone on the Knicks. Oh, that's kind of all. I'm just saying that Atlanta's going to zone the Knicks at one point. That's going to test. I don't know. It's been happening all season, even though the Knicks are one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the league. So it's kind of weird, but I don't know if it's worked or not.
I mean, Reggie has his like 5-minute spurts where he'll go like 4 or 5, and then he won't hit a shot again until like the fourth quarter, you know?
He'll hit an open mid-range though every time, which that's I'm happy about.
True. Yeah. Yeah. What were you trying to say, Anthony?
No, I was just going to add on to what you guys said before about like the whole consistency thing, where if the Knicks are able to set up a 2-0 lead or just go into game three or game four with a decent lead on Atlanta. I think you just, I mean, obviously that's going to end up meaning that's going to connect back to the whole Elfrid Payton getting minutes thing. But overall, like if something's working, if something ain't broke, don't fix it. And in terms of the Knicks, in terms of Tom Thibodeau, I know that if something is going to continue, if they're going to continue the way that they've been running the lineup like they did at the end of the season and they end up winning two or three of the first four, then I don't really see any big changes happening in that.
I agree.
Where
I it's only if they get desperate.
Exactly. Where it's only going to be a scenario where they're going to switch up this rotation. They're going to put different people in different minutes if they're going to be a little desperate.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And that's where, like you said, it comes down to the Elf thing. Like I'd be surprised if the Knicks tweet this, if there's a different tweet in the starting lineup graphic than there's been all season long. You know, if I don't see the left side of Elfrid Payton's face on Twitter, I'll be surprised. I won't lie. I would be surprised.
I'm kind of like, you know, if he does it, it'd be very like, you know, shrewd, right? Because like he's not been revealing his hand, like revealing that, you know, his hand. And he's been saying it sounds like Elf's gonna start, and like it sounds like it'd be right first. But it'd be very funny if he like just switches it up completely. Like he has like, I don't know, like Burke starting and like quickly, I don't know, like something like crazy like that. I don't think it's going to happen though, but you know, we'll see. I mean, I haven't seen playoff Tibbs since, I mean, I didn't really watch that Timberwolves series because I knew they were going to lose against the Rockets. So like probably since the Bulls when they had like Nate Robinson at point guard because Rose is hurt.
Yeah. There's another thing I wanted to touch on. So, all right, pick and roll defense. So all season long, against the Hawks, they burned us on the pick and roll defense between Trae Young and Clint Capella. What do you think the best combination or what do you think the best means of defending that is? Because I think that's how the Hawks are going to get a great deal of their points. That's their bread and butter between their two best offensive players.
I mean, I think it would help like if they're, I don't think they're, I think they're going to probably guard Capella with a center just because Capella's so great at rebounding, but like, you know, possibly switching, like having Randall on some of those possessions where it'd be an obvious pick and roll, but like I don't think they do that because then you're gonna, you know, leave yourself open for rebounds. I think you definitely have to make sure like you don't let Trae get the open three. I think that's, you know, if they get twos, they get twos, but like you cannot leave Trae open for three because he, you know, he can hit those.
Okay, well, besides like, Trae, how are the Hawks with three-point shooting?
They're pretty good. Like, they have Gallinari. Do they have Bogdanovich?
Yeah, Bogdanovich is another
one. So they have pretty good three-point shooting.
I know Cam Reddish isn't, like, a big-time shooter, but I don't think he's playing in the first round.
Yeah, but they have some good three-point shooting. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, you can't just, like That's the big issue. You can't double Trae because if you know you're gonna leave a shooter open if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because you know what, the Hawks have depth too, which is really annoying. Like I completely forgot John Collins was on the team and stuff like that, and even like someone like a Lou Will. But realistically, in terms of, see, I'm just trying to, yeah, like you guys said, like you can't really double Trae just because of how deep their team runs. Because even their bench, I mean, they have solid players with someone like a Kevin Huerter or a DeAndre Hunter. I'm trying to think of other players on their team. I don't have a list up next to me, but just like they're not a bad team in terms of you can't just take out their one superstar player because realistically, like Trae Young isn't going to be the sole factor in them winning games. As we've seen this entire season, the Hawks are a very solid team. So I really feel like it's just going to be the little things that the Knicks need to pick up on if they want to win the series. And that includes no more streaky shooting, no more second chance points for other teams, that kind of thing. They got to be a lot less sloppy with the ball. Same thing with Julius Randle, better shots. It's just, it's all these little things that are going to add up where the Knicks got to kind of put a temporary fix on them if they want to win the series.
Also, I think this is a big time coaching battle. I think that McMillan Thibodeau is as good as you're going to get with like an overachieving. And I say that in air quotes teams, like guys, like the Knicks were the island of misfit toys. And you know, they're now hosting a playoff series, which is awesome. But, and then in the Hawks case, Nate McMillan, ever since he stepped in, they've been 27-11, which is a top five record in the NBA.
Yeah. So
it's going to come down to whatever Tibbs's plan is for the rebounding, the pick and rolls, and Trae Young. And however, the Hawks plan on penetrating the Knicks' man-to-man defense, which was as good against any field goal percentage, three-point, or anything otherwise the whole season, and whether you're going to double Julius Randle or not. And, you know, how the coaches plan for those decisions is going to be a big factor. And something for me is that I know both of these teams have a lot of playoff inexperience other than Rose and Lou Will for their respective sides. And I wonder how that's going to factor, because I think that for both Trae Young and Julius Randle, if it's an early hole, like if the Knicks can go up 2-0 and just take Trae Young out of the series mentally, that's big. But I'm a little afraid that that could happen going against the Knicks as well, if that makes sense. So if either of you understand what I'm talking about, you can elaborate.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Yeah, in terms of, I know you mentioned the coaches earlier. I hope McMillan gets some Coach of the Year votes, just because, like, I think, like, he turned around that team. Just like, I think it was like the MLB was, I think Mike Schitt or Schilt or whatever for the Cardinals came in. They almost got the wild card.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, yes, I see what you're saying in terms of playoff experience. You know, I don't know. I think, it is possible that one team just sweeps the other because the other team is just not ready, because there is that factor. It's not like you're, you know, tried and tested teams. Like, you think of, you know, some matchups you got, like the Heat and Bucks, right? Heat that Bucks, those teams are tried and tested in the playoffs.
They've been deep run. For sure, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know. But like, I think that'll right? You got at least you got like the Knicks have Taj also. Has Bullock ever? I think Bullock's been in the playoffs.
Bullock played a lot of years in Detroit, so maybe he got swept.
Yeah, I know they got swept like twice, and I think he was on the Lakers 1 year, but I don't think they made it that year. Bullock's been in the playoffs. Like the Knicks have some experience, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Like
Alex Burks must have been Utah a little bit.
Yeah, and Capella obviously has some for the Hawks as well. He was on those Rockets teams. I don't think. Is anyone, and Gallinari has a couple, but it's not a lot. And you know,
For the two marquee guys, it's zero. For
the Knicks, playing style works the playoffs, though, right? Like you think about like just in general, like a physical play, right? That is like what the Knicks have done all season is what the playoffs is about in terms of like they're not going to call a lot of fouls. Like the Knicks could probably be more aggressive, and I you know, they're not like the bad boys, but like they are a very like physical team. They frustrate, like opponents have gotten frustrated in games because the Knicks defense is just like, you know, clamping on them all day. They're, you know, getting that contact, no fouls are being called in some of those, and like,
and that's what I'm saying with those Trae. Yeah, like I want, if they're not going to be called
Trae,
those
Trae, if Trae didn't get the foul calls, that's a huge thing in the Knicks' favor, because that's when those matchups got close, because Trae kept getting foul calls for like rinky dink things, and you know, not saying he's not talented, but that definitely helped him.
Call too, like he draws that contact and gets the call. It's just ridiculous. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say is like, if we're allowed to play hard nose like basketball here, I think that's an advantage for the Knicks as one of the best, if not the best, defensive teams in the league. And they can take out the Hawks star player by playing tough defense on him, get him frustrated. And then hopefully you're up 2-0 when all of a sudden it's like Trae Young is just panicking. And you know what I mean? Like it's very possible. It's very possible.
No, I completely definitely agree with it.
So I don't think we have anything else really to touch on. So let's do series predictions here. Mike, you're the guest. Why don't you go first?
I'll go Knicks in six.
I love it. I love it. Anthony?
I'm going to say Knicks in six.
All right. I have a different pick. I'm going to say, and it's only, I've been saying this, it's school all week this week. I'm taking the Knicks in seven.
That's fair.
I think this series is definitely going six or seven. And I would love, if it is Knicks in six, that's great. And this is what I meant. Like, this is what I was talking about, like for the last few weeks of the regular season, like get that four. I firmly believe that if this series is 3-3 and we do have a game seven, having that game at Madison Square Garden with 15,000 hungry, crazy Knicks fans that have been waiting for this for 8 years, I think that really, really helps this team. And
absolutely.
One thing that I'm terrified of is that if it starts off 1-1, if we split in New York, and then it's like the Indiana series 8 years ago, and we just lose both on the road, I'm afraid of that. I think And that's why I need the Knicks to win games one and two, just for my sake. So, yeah, I guess our next episode will be probably after game one.
Yeah, most likely.
Maybe the day after game one. So, Mike, do you want to shout out your socials real quick?
Sure. So I'm at Memis. Let's see. I'm at Memis Michael on Twitter. I'm Michael Memis on Instagram. Like, it's basically my name for like everything. So if you look at my name, like, and I guess that's also on LinkedIn. So yeah, all Michael Memis is basically. I also technically have a YouTube channel, but like, it's not like, it's just more to put my work on there, not like to plug anything, or like to like be content creator. But yeah, also I may be coming out with a video on before game one. So tune in for that. I did an edit of Go New York Go.
Love that song.
Yeah, I know. I may get copyright strike for it, so I may make another account just to post it. But yeah, be on lookout for that. I'll like post it in our group.
Yeah, send that to our next group chat for sure.
No, I will, of course. When it's posted. But yeah, I'll probably make another account just in case, so I don't get my account banned or whatever.
Sounds good.
Terrific. Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to say thank you for coming on the pod, Mike.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Let me just shout out my own socials real quick. I'm Anthony Evangelist on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. If you want to follow Kyle, it's Kyle Keegan, but the L is the one. So it's Kyle 1E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. I almost messed it up. No, we're good. So that's going to wrap up this episode. Hopefully we got a very fun series ahead of us. We'll see you guys after game one, but thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.